The Girl Who Chose, written by Violet Grace and read by Billy Fulford Brown. If anyone ever tells you you're the one, check the fine print. Trust me, people only call you that when they want you to do something, usually something against your better judgment. That's the thought hopping around my head as 80,000 voices erupt in a deafening roar, echoing off the stone pillars of the outdoor amphitheatre at Windsor Castle. They're all cheering for me. I feel like such a fraud. The stadium is standing room only. Same goes for the grass arena below. Every face is turned towards me as I look down from the royal box in a gown with flecks of burnished gold and copper, my flowing silk skirt carefully crafted to look like liquid sunshine. Some have come for the ritual, to honour the birth of summer. Many of them have come just for a glimpse of me. I raise my hands above my head, and a hush falls over the crowd. I reach down inside myself, feeling the art well up from my core, channeling it through my body towards my outstretched hands. Blue sparks dance around my fingertips. I flick my hands, unleashing two massive bolts of dense blue flame into the still dark sky. Manipulating the flames, an artist controlling her brushstrokes, I fashion an enormous circle followed by the flaming head of a unicorn within it. The insignia of House Raven scorches the ceiling of the world with electric blue. I've been pulling this little stunt for a year now, and it hasn't gotten old. As the only known fairy human in history, I can do what no other fae can: channel the art without a chromium instrument. More than this, my humanity gives me unparalleled power. Where ordinary fae depend on human morality to cast their spells, my humanity means I am my own magical power source. I conjure a fire spell, and 100 pre-prepared copper pots filled with kindling burst alight. Fiery tongues lick the darkness, framing the flaming unicorn insignia. The crowd gasps again. Caught up in the colour and the spectacle, I can almost forget. Forget what I did, and what I didn't do. Almost. I give a sideways glance to the Chancellor, who, as usual, is standing too close. He gives me the briefest nod of approval. My crown slips down my forehead, nearly covering one eye. I resist the urge to nudge it back up. That would be unqueenly. One of the many things I do that are unqueenly. It's quite a list. I've mentioned to the Chancellor several times now that the crown doesn't fit, but apparently symbolism is more important. This crown, set with rubies and diamonds that look like the leaves and berries from an oak tree, belonged to my mother, Queen Cordelia, and to her mother before her, and all the past fae queens of Albion, dating back hundreds of years. Don't get me wrong, being queen comes with some serious perks. The food is good, I get to call Windsor Castle home and spend my day performing for adoring crowds. But that right there is the problem. It's all a performance. Queens apparently have all the power in the world, but try to exercise that power to do something useful, and you'll get some minder with no concept of personal space, gently but insistently correcting your path back to pageantry.